1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm glad I have a wonderful treasure. And it travels with me. Matter of fact, it travels with me more now than it used to. A lot of times on Wednesday mornings, I get up real early, go out to the school to teach at 7, and I usually either listen to a sermon or I allow my phone read the Bible to me on the way to school. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful we have those avenues that we can listen to the Bible. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and we'll get there here in just a little bit. But I'm going to talk about tonight, the main theme is music matters. And by the way, music does matter. It matters in the church, it matters in the home, it matters in your personal life. And we're talking about the matter of music. But tonight I want to talk about music and its effect. How does music affect you? How does music affect me? By the way, it does. I got this from, University Healthcare something or another. It sounded like some smart people, so I got it from them. And by the way, I found out that other people use their stuff, so I was like, well, if everybody else is using it, I'm going to use it too. And if it's on the internet, it has to be right. If not, they'll fact check it. But here's what the doctor said, talking about music and the effects of it on the body. It said, is heart healthy? Is that amazing? It says, research has shown that research has shown that blood flows more easily when music is played. It also reduces heart rate, lower blood pressure, decreases cholesterol levels, and increases serotonin and endorphin levels in the blood. It elevates the mood. In other words, if you listen to music, you're in a bad mood and things like that, it can create a great mood in you. Then the third thing, it says it reduces stress. It says also that it relieves the symptoms of depression. Matter of fact, I read a lot on this today about music and depression, how the right music can take somebody who is depressed, matter of fact, suicidal, and get them away from it because of music. And a lot of the music that they're talking about is classical music. If you listen to Beethoven, Bach, all those type music, you know, just more or less instrumental type music, or it's music you can't understand what they're saying because it's in French or something else. But it says that at least it relieves the symptoms of depression. It says it stimulates memories. By the way, I can hear an old song and I can tell you where I was at when I heard it. Right? I remember certain songs that I first heard in the church. Man, when I hear them and sing them here, it's like I can go back to Enum Baptist Church when I got saved. It does. It helps us with our memory. And then another thing they found out, that it manages pain. And I'm going to give you a statistic on that here in a little bit. It manages pain. It eases pain. And this one I like. It helps people to eat less. I'm listening to the wrong music. It's not helping me, but they said that if you play soft music in the background, dim the lights during a meal, it can help people slow down and while eating and ultimately consume less food in one setting. I'm going to listen to... And I'm going to have the lights all the way turned down, see if I can lose some weight. And then it says it increases workout endurance. We don't really talk about that, but I want to show you through the Bible, because this is man's research. But I want to show you through the Bible what God has showed us and what God has told us, that how music could affect our body, how it could affect our life. And I want to show you that through a very familiar story tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we'll begin in verse 14. And we'll read down through the end of this chapter. And just looking at Saul and David, and here you know the story. Once we get there, you say, oh yes, I've heard this story. But notice it says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, when you study this out, there's a lot of study you can go in there, because you say, wait a minute, did the Lord send an evil spirit on him? You study this out, and there again, we don't have time tonight. But I will say that when the Spirit of the Lord leaves, an evil spirit usually comes behind. And it's not like the Lord sent it. He allowed it to be sent because he removed his spirit from Saul's life. The reason he removed the spirit from Saul's life in the Old Testament, the spirit came and went, and the reason that he did was because Saul repeatedly disobeyed him, and that God was going to give the kingship. In this chapter, we see that Samuel had anointed David as king, as the new king, and so God is showing a transition here. And notice what he says here. We're not necessarily going to talk about that. Verse 15, it says, "And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on the harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit of God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hands, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. And then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing and mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and a prudent in all matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Boy, what a resume. Wouldn't you like that to be your resume, that here he was, not only can he play the harp, that he was cunning, that means he was skillful in playing the harp, but that he was a mighty valiant man. In other words, he was a warrior. I mean, David wasn't some little punk. He wasn't some little wimp you see sometimes on the drawing, little, you know, skinny me, and little, you know, he's 4'10". I believe David was a man. I believe he was a man's man. But I love the last part. He said, and the Lord is with him. Isn't it amazing? Even the lost world can know if God's with you. But notice what they say here. It says, when Saul sent the messengers unto Jesse and sent David thy son, which is with the sheep, and Jesse took an ass and laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. You talk about, there was something that Saul saw in David that was unspeakable. It said that he loved him, that immediately there was a kindred spirit there with David, and that he became his armor bearer. By the way, you didn't become an armor bearer just by being good looking. You had to be trustworthy. By the way, this was a valiant job to hold. But notice what it says in verse 22. That's not all in the message, but verse 22. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and an evil spirit departed from him. Now, these harps that they would have had in the time of David would have been a hand harp, not the harps that you see today. They would not be that way. Matter of fact, the psalmist even tells us a lot of the harps were 10 string. They were between 6 and 12 strings. And here's a fascinating fact, that just it's just a fact, is that most of the harps in those days were made by sheep's small intestines. Hallelujah. What a way to go. Isn't it amazing that later on they became horse hair and some other things that we have, strings we have today. But here was David, and he played. He was very skillful in this. And as my mind wanders on this story, I just think of David watching the sheep. And as he's out there watching the sheep, I just can't help but to think he had his harp with him and just playing and practicing. And maybe somebody was passing by, one of these servants was passing by and heard the harp playing. Wow, that's good. And go down to listen to David as he plays the harp there as he's tending the sheep. But here the evil spirit comes upon Saul, and the Bible says that when David played the harp, that there were three things that happened in Saul's life, and we're going to look at those. But I want you to look at what else happens here. This is not the only time that David plays. Go to chapter 18. Keep your finger in chapter 16. We'll be back there. But I just want you to see these other instances that Saul, of course, becomes jealous of David after David and Goliath. David is a man who is well praised in the town. We know that when they came back from this war, that the people were in the street. They were hollering out to David that, "David, you killed your 10,000s, and Saul, you killed your thousands." Saul got jealous, rage in his life. He began to get very jealous of David. And from that time on, the Bible tells us that he sought to kill David. But I want you to notice what happens here, and there again, just kind of giving you some context. It says in verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass," in chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "And it came to pass in the morrow that the evil spirit from God upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hands at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand." Now, two times, matter of fact, it goes on down to say, it says, "And Saul cast the javelin." Could you imagine? There again, I'm a thinker. David's, you know, Blum, blum. I mean, he throws a javelin at him. But notice what the scripture says. Well, that's, by the way, playing an instrument, you could get killed. Okay? Trust me, I felt like people wanted to throw things at me at the piano. But notice what it says. It says, and he cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence 2 times. Listen, you throw a javelin at me 1 time, I'm not coming back. Right? I mean, well, maybe David was playing, you know, here comes the javelin. Matter of fact, go over to chapter 19. I love these stories. By the way, the Bible's interesting, isn't it? It's just amazing. And chapter 19 and verse 9 says, and an evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with a javelin in his hand, and David played with his hands. Hello? By the way, could you imagine? And that was such a respect they had for the king back in those days. You didn't refuse an offer because you'd be killed either way. David goes in there and he's like, does he have that? And Saul's got the javelin in his hand. And David's, you know, I'm thinking, we're going to play fast music today. You know, I mean, okay, I'm done. But could you imagine that this evil spirit upon Saul, but in such a manner that a playing of an instrument could change the way he felt? You know, God's given us music to praise Him, but also God's given us music for the enjoyment of music. By the way, I love music. I'm glad God gave it to us. I love to sit down at the piano and just play the piano. I'm not that good, but I love to just sit and play. And boy, I love how sometimes, I'm telling you, most people around here know that if something happens to me in the day and I get a little agitated, you know where to find me? At the piano. I'm not lying. If something happens to me, you'll find me usually at this piano, one of the pianos in this church, and I'm glad we got several thousand of them. I'll find a room without kids in it somewhere, and I'll just start playing because it ministers to me. And God has given us music to do that, that not only is it for His glory and for praising Him, but God has given it to us that it may affect us in a positive way. So if you will, I want you to think of this, is that there's 3 parts of music there, and you've heard this before. There's melody, which is the lead part of music. If I was going to sing, How Marvelous, I would sing the melody part. And then if you have the harmony, then you have the harmony part, which is the parts that are built around the melody, right? There's people who harmonize. And then you have the rhythm, which is the beat of that song, the rhythm, the tempo of that song. You realize that melody, there's 3 parts of us. There's the spirit, mind, and the body. And that the melody of a music goes with our spirit. And then the harmony goes with our mind. And then the rhythm goes with our body. If you don't believe that, take your kid to the mall and let them hear boom, 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 boom. You don't have to teach a kid to do that, right? You have to stop it. Stop it. We're in church, right? And that's just with my wife, I'm telling you. Honey, stop, you know. But, we never had to teach Bailey how to dance. She knows, I'd tell her right now, well, she's not in here. But if she was in here, I'd tell her, here's a handicapped child. Hey, can you dance? And the first thing she does is her knees go, right? You ever been around kids and they hear music, right? I catch myself sometimes walking through the place going, stop it, right? I mean, I'm telling myself, stop. Why are you doing it? Because music affects our body. The rhythm of the music affects our body. I was raised around Native Americans, we have to call them that now. And I was raised around, and they used to go have a lot of powwows. They used to go to the powwows back in the day, if you know what that is. It's really a religious, anyway. But as a kid, we used to go to the powwows and things that were just interesting. And number one reason we went is because they used to sell a lot of their artifacts and things that they made, you know, out the years, kind of their time to sell, and that's why we would go. But you hear that doom, 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 you know, and then they get out there and they got their feathers on and, you know, they're flying over and they're acting like a spirit animal or whatever. You know, and I was saying, whoa. And for long, I'd find myself going, you know, as a little kid, you know, and I'm going, doom, 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 because that music drives them, right? You ever seen these raves and things like that? They got the drums, doom, 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 and everybody's just doing, right? Not me. Right, I got a headache just from even thinking about it. But I want to show you through this passage. I know I'm being a little silly tonight, but I want to show you through this passage 3 things. I want you to go back, if you will, to chapter 16. Chapter 16, that's kind of what's going on here. Chapter 16, I want you to look specifically at verse 23. It says 3 things that happened to Saul, and I'll give these three to you. They follow this order. They follow the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. These three things that we're going to mention here in verse 23 follow physical, what music does to us physically, what music does to us mentally. By the way, you can sing songs that you heard when you were a kid because they affect you mentally, right? I can sing songs that, but anybody else like me, songs that you learn as, you know, I was 70s and 80s, I sing today and you know, you hear them, you go, oh, I can sing that song. You're like, I didn't know that was the words. Anybody else like that? Yeah. You know, there's some songs that I go, oh, I didn't know that was the words to that song, right? I remember as a in middle school, we had a teacher, Miss Blanton was her name. Every day of class, she would have playing when you came into class. And I can't remember what class she taught. It's not important. It wasn't PE or shop, so I didn't know. But every day you walk in there, she, don't worry, be happy. Ooh, 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 ooh. Don't worry, be happy, Mom. It was a Jamaican song, I guess. I don't know. But every day I heard that song. I told her one day, I said, Miss Blanton, if you don't stop playing that music, I'm going to destroy the radio. You know, the cassette player is what it was, sorry. Right? I mean, it just, every day we had to hear that song. I was like, but you know what I'd find myself doing? I'd just be singing it, right? Because it sticks in our head mentally. By the way, we ought to be careful what we put in there. Some things that get in there never get out. Even though you get saved, things stay in here. And we have to be careful then things that affect and how music affects us spiritually. Number one, physically. I want you to notice the word that he uses there in verse 23. In verse 23, it says, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was, notice that word, refreshed. The word refreshed, you know what it means. It means to refresh something, you know. But here's what the Strong says. It means to breathe easily, to be relieved, or to be revived. That physically, when you get into a state of, and here we see this evil spirit that has come upon Saul. But listen, when you get in a mode of depression, and you get in a mode of being whatever, the distraught in your life, you know what? It affects you physically. You see somebody who's going through depression, a lot of times they lose weight very quick because why? It affects them physically. And here we see that this evil spirit that was upon Saul was affecting him physically. And can I say that, and you can study this out for yourself, but your body absorbs sound waves. Some of us can absorb more than others. But I want to tell you this, is that I did a study on this a long time ago and I restudied it this past week. But I was studying the effects of music upon deaf people, people who have lost their hearing. And it's amazing when you study that out that they still can feel music. They may not can hear it, but they can feel the music. And it's because our bodies were made to absorb sound waves. And matter of fact, if you take all of you out of here and we play music, it's louder. When you get in here, you absorb that music. Ain't that amazing that God has made us that way, that we absorb that music? That music can affect us. By the way, the wrong kind of music will affect your body in the wrong manner. Right? Your body reacts physically different to it. Now, I can dance. My kids can tell you that I keep that on. But, right, music affects us all physically in our lives. And Brother Watts came up to me last Wednesday night, and he says, and this is a true fact from Brother Watts. He's sitting here. I got to give him royalties for this sermon, too. But he come to me last week. He says, you know what? We praise the Lord that God has healed him of his breathing problems. If y'all remember, Brother Watts was on oxygen. By the way, most people that go on oxygen for the time that he's on don't come off of it. And God healed him of that, and we give God the praise for that. But he told me the other day, and I'm going to quote him somewhat. You know, he can correct me later. But he said, I check my O2 before I sing, and it's in 92, 93. After he sings, it's 99. He said, my oxygen level goes up when I sing. I said, hallelujah. I'm going to use that. I mean, that is the effects of music on us physically. And here we see that David didn't sing, that David only played the harp, but it affected Saul physically. that he said that he was refreshed, that his body was renewed or revived. You want to talk about, I know I use Bailey a lot, but Bailey's a good example of being a 21-year-old who cannot talk or communicate with us. But it is amazing. So I'll tell the story. So Bailey, there again, doesn't communicate with us. So when we're sitting at the house, a lot of times she just sits there and, mama, And boy, who gets nerve-wracking sometimes, right? And I told my wife, I said, I don't know. We can only play Barney so long. Praise the Lord. Amen. By the way, I always said if I ever met Barney, I'd beat him up. And then I realized the guy that does Barney is good friends with the Davises, and then he called us and did Barney for Bailey for her birthday one time. And by the way, he's a good Christian guy, just wrote a Christian book. I was like, okay, I can't beat him up now. I love you, Barney. And so, thank you. You know, and we can sing every song. We're so tired. And I got tired of hearing Southern gospel music. I was like, if I ever see the Happy Goodmans, which are all dead, I'd probably punch them in the face too for Jesus. And I was like, it's all we could do. And I had an epiphany one day. I said, I'm going to buy her some headphones, and we're going to play music in her ears. Folks, I'll tell you, we had a hallelujah moment in our house. We put those on Bailey every night. Now she sits in the chair, she's just smiling, and Miss Judy knows. I mean, we put her in a rocking chair. We have a rocking chair in the house, and she literally will almost flip that thing over. And we're just playing, like the Perrys and McCamies, those type good songs on there. And boy, she'll start rocking. And she does like the faster songs. She's a little Pentecostal, but that's all right. She believes she can lose her salvation, but that's all right. We're just trying to teach her the best we can. I'm kidding. But it's amazing how it affects her physically. Literally, Miss Judy stays with her during the day, and we're so thankful for Miss Judy. Miss Judy knows this as well as we do, is that when Bailey's in a bad mood, she spits, she scratches. But you give her music, and she goes from wanting to scratch and claw you to the happiest person you'll ever meet. And can I say that it's amazing that I see that all over the world? One of my favorite things is to go to the nursing home and to watch these people come wheeling in wheelchairs that sometimes don't even know they're there. And you start singing those old hymns, and all of a sudden, they perk up. And speaking of mentally, I'll give us here in a minute. Mentally, it's amazing that we used to have one of the ladies at the nursing home we went to over here down at Fort Worth, is that she had Alzheimer's. She'd get in there, she was just, you start singing a song, she knew every word to them. Ain't that amazing? And you'd get in there and you sing, what a day that will be, and what a day that will be. And you say, wasn't that a good service? She'd be like, I don't know, you want to go over there? Well, I've got to go fishing. Like, what just happened to her? Where did she go? She went to, but it's amazing. You start singing those songs. Listen, they affect us physically. And by the way, the right kind of music will affect us physically in the right way. See, music was never intended to glorify the body or glorify self, the flesh. It was meant to glorify the Lord. And I'll give you this, and there again, more research. You can do it what you want to, but research has shown that music can be very helpful in management of pain. One study of fibromyalgia patients found that those who listen to music for just 1 hour a day experience a significant reduction in pain compared to those in a controlled group. At the end of the 4-week study period, participants who had listened to music each day experienced significant reduction in feelings of pain and depression. Such results suggest that music therapy could be an important tool in the treatment of chronic pain. You know why it is? By the way, I'm not a neuroscientist. Pretty close, but not there yet. I do have my doctorate in mayhem. But you know what it is? It gets your mind off of it. It gets your mind off of the pain. And that's why music, right kind of music. Listen, if you're having that kind of day that your body's just giving out, listen, the Word of God through song can rejuvenate you. It can affect you physically. Let me give you number 2. I got to hurry. Mentally, look at the next part of that verse. It says, Saul was refreshed, but then look at the next word. It says, and was well. That word well in the Strong's means to be pleased or to be pleasant, be delightful or joyful. That is talking about our mental capacity, that we may be well mentally. Listen, so many times when the world presses upon us, it starts here. And it starts in our mind, and Satan knows that if he can plant a little seed in your mind and get you to thinking about all the bad things in the world and all the things that are going on. Listen, we just need to put our earphones on and listen to God and get out our Bible and read the Bible and listen to good music. Put it in our ears. Put it in our hearts. And so many times we see it that music is played, and there again in the nursing homes, and it's just amazing to watch those older people that can't say their name, but they can sing the old hymns. So many times people are depressed. By the way, depression is not just something that happens to the worldly people, it happens to the Christian too. And can I say that if you're depressed, it's not time to listen to rock and roll. Right? It's not time to listen to the honky-tonk, right? If you're depressed, please don't listen to that. You know, because your dog's already gone, your wife's already left. You're right? I don't need a beer to help me to control my mental thoughts. I need God. Hello. I don't want the world's help. I want God's help. And I want to hear how great thou art. I want to hear it is well with my soul. Listen, when you're going through that mental time, and we all go through those mental stages in our life where we have those thoughts of quitting maybe, or we have those thoughts of God doesn't love us or God doesn't care. Listen, you need to just get in the Word of God, number one. But number two, you need to have good music pumping into your mind. Can I just remind all of us is that spiritual things that are of the Bible are good for us. Just like healthy food is good for us. But I want to hit this last thing tonight. We see the physical part, we see the mental part, and then you see the spiritual part. Notice it says the last thing. It says an evil spirit departed from him. I think about today just what is spiritual in my life. By the way, what is spiritual things? It's God things. It's spiritual things, right? Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we build up a spiritual house, right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "You are lively stones and are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." By the way, spiritual houses need spiritual things brought into them. And when we meet as a church, when we come together as a body, as we come together as a spiritual house together, we need good things brought in here. We don't need the worldly music. There has to be a difference. I'm going to get on this in the next few weeks. But there has to be a difference between God's music and the world's music. There has to be. And the church was never meant to take secular music and change the words and make it godly. When we lived in Georgia, I'm not lying with my hand raised. There was a lot of weird things going on in Georgia. When we lived in Georgia, I never will forget, we got a flyer in the mail. And I believe it was Georgia. I think Brother Mark got it. But it said, "Come to our church and hear the Beatles." Hello? Anybody ever heard of the Beatles? I don't think they were saved. They may have been. But I don't want them singing in my church. And if you read on down there, it says, "And we'll show you how the Beatles' music can be used to glorify God." What? How about let's use God's music to glorify God? Smart. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? But you know what they were trying to do? Just trying to get people in there. I don't know a Beatles song or else I'd sing right now, but I can't imagine getting up here and going, "Man, I'm so glad y'all came tonight." You know, whatever, I don't know, whatever Beatles. Some of y'all can tell me later what they are. But I never did listen to Beatles. That was before my time. I never listened to anything that was named after a bug. So I like the Mosquitoes, you know. Just doesn't sound appetizing anyway. But we are a spiritual house, and can I remind us what Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says? "For they that are after the flesh do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after of the Spirit, they do mind the things of the Spirit." Listen, when you're of the flesh, you want fleshly music. When you're a spiritual person, you want spiritual music. And we need to pump that into our lives. If we're listening to music 4.5 hours a day, on average is what the average American is listening to music 4.5 hours a day, and the other 4.5 hours is watching TV and on the internet and things like that. Listen, we need to pump good things in there. Why? Because the devil, he wants to pump as much wickedness in there as he can. You can't even drive from here to Norris and not look at billboard signs and go, "Ah." Amen. Right? I just drove there today and I go, "Ah." You know, it's just amazing what they put on billboards nowadays. It's amazing what you see going down the road. And listen, when you see those things, you ought to have on the radio, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'm thinking about the roll being called up yonder. I ain't thinking about going there. I'm thinking about my God. And listen, we need more spiritual things in our life. We need to wrap our lives around spiritual things. And spiritual music should be the most important thing in our life other than the Bible. If you listen to spiritual music, guess what? You will produce spiritual fruit in your life. And I'm going to give you some parameters of how to judge spiritual music versus worldly music here in a couple of weeks. But I just want to remind us that by just playing the harp changed Saul's life. No music was ever sung. It was just the music that was played. We have a guy out at our cemetery. Sometimes it is that at 7 o'clock in the morning. Every student is dead in Christ. But we have one of our students, Brother Tyler Yates. He's fixing to go to Mexico. He preached today, did a great job. Fixing to go to Mexico as a missionary. And he plays the guitar, and he finger picks it. Man, I'm telling you what. I told him, I said, you need to make a CD. And he says, who would listen to it? I'm going to listen to it. Listen to it at bedtime. Man, it put me to sleep, right? I mean, it's that good, brother. It's like our sermons. It usually puts people to sleep. But he's just very talented in that. And yes, he's playing hymns and things like that. But I was thinking, you know, just that music being played can change your spirit in your life. And it can affect you physically and mentally and spiritually. Listen, we as Christians need to be affected spiritually. We need spiritual music in our life. We need spiritual things in our life. And the moment we allow worldly things in our life, and listen, every day I allow something worldly in my life, it seems. You're like, get out. Usually it's those 80s and 90s songs, right? You ever just talking to somebody and they say a phrase and you go, that was a song back then, you know? And I'm just thinking in my life is that I need spiritual things in my life because I want to produce spiritual fruit in my life. And here we see Saul's life was changed in this moment because of what David did playing the harp. I can't imagine. I actually looked up harps. I was like, you know what? I want to order me one of those. I'd like to. There's people who make David harps. Is actually what they call them is David harps. And I looked them up and I said, yeah, you know, I don't need one that bad when you see the price of them. I'll stick with the guitar and the piano, you know. But I was thinking, you know, I'd love to hear, and there again, you can go online and listen to people play them, and they are very angelic because they're going to be playing them in heaven. Harps are going to be played in heaven. It must be an instrument that the Lord loves. And could you imagine if it's going to be played in heaven? It must have been something about it when David played it. And music can affect us physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's why we have to be careful when we turn that dial, right? I don't turn the dial no more. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to listen to 820, talk 820 every day when I was driving to work. I finally turned that off. I got depressed listening to that. You know, I don't want to hear what's going on. I want to just hear about him. And really, it has changed my attitude. Not hearing that news. I don't listen to the news anymore. I don't care what they say. You say, well, how do you going to know if something happens? One of y'all tell me. Facebook will tell us, you know. If you're on that, right? But listen, as the older I get, the more I want to hear about him. The more I want to learn about him. The more I want to sing to him. I had a little praise time in my office today. And I'll tell you who I was listening to. There's a Church of God, of all people. They sing a cappella hymns. You can find it on YouTube. It's called churchofgod.org. And you can listen to Church of God, by the way. Not Baptist, not Pentecostal. They sing hymns the best I've ever heard them sing. I'm telling you, I was listening to them today and then they come across their victory in Jesus. Man, I'm telling you what, I started thinking about the victory I had in Christ. You know what? It did something to my soul. And I think the problem with singing a lot of times, we don't think about what we're singing. And we made the words easier to read than ever before, and sometimes I don't even read them. You know why? Because I know them up here. But the songs need to be here and they need to affect me spiritually. And songs need to affect you spiritually. Let's stand in our heads bow. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night that you've given us, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you would just help us to realize how much music does affect us. Lord, it affects us physically and mentally and spiritually. And Lord, if we have the right kind of music in our life, Lord, that spiritually we will grow. And Lord, that we will produce fruit from our life. And Lord, that I pray that you would just help us as maybe one day or this day, we may have a day where, Lord, we may have lost a loved one or may have just had some trouble at work. And God, just realize we can just run to you and that get in your word and listen to your music, God, and that it can change our lives in a split second. And so, Father, I thank you for that. Thank you that you've given us music to affect us in those ways and Lord, to be a help to us, as well as to be a way to praise you and to thank you, God, for all that you've done. Bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Pastor Combs.